Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
You know, this morning, it was the last night of this morning, God was playing with me a little bit. God plays with my mind, you know. And one of the things he said to me was, no one is born poor. No one, no matter where you are in this world, no one is born poor. What he said to me was, no one is born poor, just ignorant to their wealth. None of us are born poor, we're just ignorant to our own wealth. You see, you're not trying to become wealthy. You're not trying to become something that you're not. You're just simply becoming more of who you are. You're becoming more of who you already are. God created you wealthy. God created you from a state of abundance and prosperity. I always love the image of the fact that when conception happens, although there's only one sperma or one seed that's conceived, millions come at the same time. And then you're the one who made it through. So when you realize that out of millions, you're the one that came through, you are already a success story. Come on, you already are a success story. The fact that you're here, you made it. Amen. And what Tabitha was just talking about, I want you to realize how powerful this moment is. This was not planned when I started the Money Talk series. This came during the series. So this wasn't set up like, you know, we're going to introduce this program after we start this money program, this Money Talk series. This came during it. It's almost as if God says, all right, yes, I said God is going to take us to a new level financially, that God is going to bless us economically. He's going to change our financial circumstances. Well, now God is providing the means and opportunity for it to get started in your life. So turn me really quick to Acts 2, verse 42. You guys can remain standing. Acts 2, verse 42. Tabitha's over here shouting. Hallelujah. Look at this. Remember, this is on the day of Pentecost, or after that. This is after the church was birthed, when God poured out his spirit on the 120 believers, and then the Bible says on that day, the Holy Spirit came on about 120, then 3,000 people got saved, and the church was started, and the Bible says those 3,000 souls began to do something. The Bible says that when the church started, look at this, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teachings and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles, right? Now look also what happened. Verse 44, now all who believed were together and had all things in common. They began to move as one. You see this? They began to move as one. All who believed came together. Group economics. Watch this. Verse 45. And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them or shared them among all as anyone had need. Now, another translation, if you look at the NIV, actually says, and they sold property and goods. They sold property. They got into real estate. They sold It's very important. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? There was a husband and wife. They sold their house. And then they lied to Peter and said they only got back a certain amount of money. And when they lied, Peter asked them, why are you lying to me? Well, you're not lying to me, you're lying to the Holy Spirit. And then they died. They dropped dead because of their lie. But what were they doing? They were selling their property. People were selling homes. People were selling buildings. Come on. And they were growing in wealth that way. Come on. This is the same thing God has set us up to do. I want you to look at another verse. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 11, verse 4. Because Tabitha mentioned, she said, don't say to yourself, don't give yourself an excuse as to why you can't move in this right now. Look at what the Bible says. Read the NLT. Show me the New Living Translation if you can. NLT. Scripture says this. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. Farmers who wait for the perfect conditions never sow. You don't have to wait for the perfect conditions before you get involved. If they watch every cloud, they'll never harvest. Next verse. Just as you cannot understand the path of the wind or the mystery of a tiny baby growing in its mother's womb, so you cannot understand the activity of God who does all things. So plant your seed in the morning and keep busy all afternoon. For you don't know if profit will come from one activity or another, or maybe both. Come on, this is in your Bible. So don't say, I gotta wait till I got my money right. Don't wait until you say, I gotta pay off my debts, pay off my loans. No, we're saying, get into this now. Get into the activities of God right now. We didn't plan this. God is orchestrating something. And the Bible says you don't know if you'll profit from this or another activity. But he said you don't have to wait for everything to be perfect. God wants to use you now. And we pray, say, God be glorified. We're just saying, talking about God be glorified. Let me tell you, you can't glorify God if you don't have anything to glorify him with. Come on. You come to God, say, God, look at the spoils. Look at the spoils of my faith. Look at what I accomplished. Look at my success. I bring my crowns and I bring it to him. Come on. We bring our crowns and we lay it at his feet. Lord, we were able to generate $50,000 this week. Ron said, I was able to raise $13,000. No, I made $13,000 through my business this week. Lord, look at what I was able to do in your name. That's what we're doing. We're giving God glory for what he has, what he's equipped us, strengthened us, empowered us to do. Amen in his name. Come on. Let's lift up our right hands together. Say, Lord, take my hands, put them to use, and everything I do, let it bring glory to you. Everything I set my hands to do, may it be blessed. And may it accomplish more than I anticipate. Because you are able to do exceeding and abundantly far beyond all I can ask or think. Amen. Now I want you to put that right hand into somebody else's right hand and say, we got the power to do something extraordinary in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may have your seats. Hallelujah. All right, I got to try to make this, put this on the express train. Glory to God. Amen. Somebody got it. Amen. All right, so due to unanimous or overwhelming decisions, I'm going to stay in Money Talks for the rest of the year. All right. stay for the rest of the year. That means if we stay here, we're not just going to be talking about it, man. We're going to be doing something about it. We're going to be doing something about it. And I'm really excited because as the prophet of the Lord came last week and mentioned that by this time next year, there's going to be millionaires in this house. You know, we can dance, we can shout, we can run, and we can sing about that. But until we actually do something different, nothing else will change. Amen. If you don't like change, you like chains. Don't you remember that? Put that on a t-shirt. Do something. If you don't like change, you like chains. Because the only reason why most people don't move forward in life is because they don't want to change. And we'll rather old problems than adapt to new solutions. And there's a new solution that we have introduced to our house. In order for us to be a place. See, I thought we were just trying to get money for a building, for our church building. And the way God has set us up is that not only are we going to get a building for our church, all y'all going to have buildings. Isn't that something only God will do? You get a building, you get a building. All right? I mean, if you were not here on Thursday, I'm telling you, just after church, please go and speak to Tabitha, Giselle. She was in the house. God bless her. Let's clap my hands for her. Was here. They have so much wealth of information to share with us, but like I said, so much to talk about now, but is there a form back there? Is there a form back there? Just get something where you can get emails. If you didn't give them your email Tuesday, and you just want to find out more about what's going on, just see them after church. Give them your emails. Communication is going to go forth from there. All right? But I mentioned, we've been talking about the fact that God is calling us to move out of a place of scarcity, and he's calling us to move into a place of wealth and abundance. And this is our inheritance. This is our right. This is how God wants us to live. And unfortunately, our ancestors in this country was exposed to a form of Christianity that made black slaves or those coming out of slavery only expect blessings to come in the great by and by. That we only anticipated that when we all get to heaven, then we will rejoice. Then that will be a day of rejoicing. And we've been taught a form of Christianity that always caused us to just be compulsionary in our obligation to obedience, just to come under whatever people told us, and that we had to learn to accept whatever was given to us. While on the other hand, those who were not enslaved were able to rise up and learn to inherit the earth now. We were taught to inherit the earth once we die. But they grew up believing that they can have anything they want, be anything they want, do anything they want while they're here on this earth. And we had to learn to settle for the scraps and rely on government assistance and be the ones to rely on people's handouts for us. And that's where the poverty mindset has transferred from generation to generation, because what we see in our homes and what we hear at home and what we hear in our churches is different than what others who are not of our persuasion get to experience. So when I tell you that God says he wants you to see yourself wealthy now. See, when you get to heaven, yeah, you'll be even more wealthy. But God doesn't decide who's going to be rich and who's going to be poor. We decide that. God doesn't determine, God doesn't want you to buy real estate. He just wants somebody else to buy real estate. But you, no. You just set up for a job. Come on. It's like, wait a minute, who determines this, right? The Bible says, God said in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I set before you today life or death, Choose life. Choose life. Choose life. I'll say, I set before you today, wealth or poverty. Which one do you want to choose? Remember, we learned 2 weeks ago, the Bible does not have middle class. It always talks about poverty or prosperity. God always gave a word, either to the poor or the rich. The government today is trying to extinguish the middle class, and it's coming back to a place where it's only rich or poor. Where do you want to be? Now, one of the things that I've learned about the difference between those who are in the upper class, those who are in the lower class, is the way money is spent. You see, what makes a person rich or very rich is not because they are genetically wired to be rich and you're not. There's no evolutionary trait inside of rich people that says they're rich and then you're genetically predisposed to be poor. All right, that's not biblical and neither is it scientific. What makes a person rich or poor is a person who is rich has rich mindsets, rich attitudes, rich beliefs, rich vantage points. They don't see the world the same way a poor person sees the world. That's what separates the two. Mindset. Everybody say mindset. And along with that mindset, there are attitudes, there are habits, there are decisions that you can make. You know, there's one decision you make today can set you up to move upward in your financial life. You know? And I've been spending the last few weeks just pretty much giving you guys inspiration, right? Just really preaching us into a place where we can truly see ourselves differently than how the world wants you to see yourself and limit you and label you. And one of the things that begins to happen, Vito, is that the more you read the Bible and the more you understand what God really has to say about you, the Bible is not just a book about God as much as it is a book about you. And the Bible is not just a book of theology, it's a book of psychology. Why? Because when you see how God speaks to man in the Bible, God comes up to Gideon, who was afraid, who was scared for his life. Judges, I think it's Judges chapter 6 or 3, somewhere over there, don't quote me. And the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon and say, Gideon, the same Gideon was shaking in his boots about an army that's coming, the Midianites, that's coming after him and his family. The angel comes to Gideon and says, Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. Gideon says, who, me? My family is the least of all the families in Israel. Gideon begins to talk about his lack, his insufficiencies. He talks about what he can't be, what he can't do, what he can't have. And the angel tells him, you're a mighty man. I want you to go and get ready to be the savior for Israel. You're going to save your family. Gideon said, well, if you're going to use me, send me a sign. And what begins to happen? God sends an angel, comes before him, and tells him who he is, even when he doesn't believe. Who he sees himself the way God sees him. And that's what God does. God will tell you who you are when you don't even believe that you are who he says you are. Why? Because God understands that that's how you change. We don't change logically. You don't change logically. You don't change through analysis and getting enough data. You change. Watch this. When the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You need to hear the truth in order to change. You need to comprehend it. Just hear it. God told Gideon, you're a mighty man. You're a mighty man. God told Joshua, remember Joshua was scared because he was about to take over Moses' responsibility after Moses died. God gave Joshua the word and say, Joshua 1 verse 8, Joshua, you shall meditate on this word day and night. Meditate on it. Think about it. Think about the word that I'm giving you, the instruction I'm giving you. Moses, my servant, is dead. You're going to be the one to go and lead Israel. Think about this. Meditate. Meditation is not emptying your mind and clearing your mind out from everything. But meditation is actually filling your mind with the truth that you need to see yourself differently, to see your situations differently. And the more you actually meditate, ponder, go over, internalize, think about the truth over and over again, something in you begins to change. You get courage, you get boldness based on what you're thinking about. So the Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. This is a very extremely important verse that you need to get a hold of, because inside of this principle lies the secret to how you will begin to move forward in your life, in any area of your life. Let me stretch you a little bit. So if you're taking notes, begin to take notes. Put this on, can we put this, this is a diagram I want you guys to become familiar with. And I want you to draw this, write this down, take notes, because I'm gonna be hanging around here for the rest of the month. But on this board right now, you'll see something called the five levels of change. The five levels of change. And this is the psychology that you need to understand in order to produce change or transformation in your life. Now, at the bottom of this, can everybody see it? Now, at the bottom, we see the word what? Identity. What's the next level? Your beliefs. Next level. Self-talk. Next level. Your behaviors. And the next level, your environment. When most people say they want to change their lives, and since we're talking about finances, I'm going to keep it around money. When someone says, I want to make more money, by saying you want to make more money, what you are actually saying is, when you're actually hanging around this level, right? Self-talk, or what you're saying out of your mouth. We'll probably get a book about money. We'll actually begin to go and maybe go to a seminar or some event where they're going to be talking about money. You want to learn about real estate, you want to learn about investing in stocks, so on and so forth. And so we actually begin to change our environment. We actually try to, we're changing our behaviors because we're trying to do certain things new, right? You know, every New Year's Eve, we set resolutions. We say, you know what, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. So that's all of us, we're all starting around here. And what I've learned is that the majority of people, when they want to change, all start that way. We say we want to do something differently. We even try to do things differently, which is our behaviors. And then some of us even try to change our environments. We try to put ourselves in different rooms and be around different people. But when you look at this pyramid, you will realize that the most or the least meaningful way to change is actually starting from the top. The most meaningful and powerful way to change is not just starting from up top with your environment and your behaviors, which is what most people do. The most powerful and most meaningful way you change is by actually starting with your identity. All right? So, for example, I'm not a smoker. So, I didn't wake up today saying to myself, I'm not going to smoke. I'm not going to smoke because I'm not a smoker. Somebody else, they might be. But for me, I'm not a smoker. I've never smoked a day in my life. Nothing. Weed, cigarettes, nothing. All right? I never saw myself doing that. Right? There are other things I did. But that wasn't me. So that's not, I'd have to tell myself not to smoke, right? But for a smoker who have a hard time smoking, they might say, well, who wants to try to stop smoking? What they'll probably say is, you know, I'm not going to smoke this week. You know, they'll try to not buy a pack today or try to buy a bag today or whatever. And we'll probably go a day or two, 3 days. But guess what? Most of the times you end up right back to who you are. Why? Because in order for you to change, to fully transform, you have to actually start with your I am. Your identity is your I am. It's who you say you are. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Your identity is built on who you believe or who you think you are inside of your own heart. So you have to begin to say, I'm not a smoker. And then you need to replace that old identity with the new one. This is why when you realize how the New Testament teaches transformation, the New Testament doesn't teach us to change our behaviors. The New Testament teaches us to start identifying with who you are in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am the head and not the tail. You see how the Bible is a book of psychology? It tells you this is how you change. You start confessing who you are in Christ. You don't confess who you were outside of him. You don't confess your sin. You don't confess your behaviors. Christians, you need to stop confessing your sins. You need to stop confessing your sins, and you need to start confessing your righteousness. The more you talk about your sins, all you're going to get is more of what you talk about. Confess who you are in Christ. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm holy. I'm pure. I'm God's vessel. I'm God's house. You tell yourself that. Guess what begins to happen? I love Destiny's. What is Destiny? Destiny's testimony? She said she started affirming in the mirror who she was. And she said all of a sudden, her emotions started changing. Her attitude started changing. Why? Because she started seeing herself differently. Her identity began to change. She said, I am pretty. I am beautiful. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And what she was trying to do in her own strength, all of a sudden, there was a transformation that began to happen on the inside of her. Your identities create your beliefs. Your beliefs create your self-talk. Your self-talk create your behaviors. And then your behaviors will change your environment. Is this making sense? So, who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? The scriptures that said, in the book of, in the Minor Prophets, Amos, he said, let the weak say, I am strong. Don Moen added in his song, let the poor say, I am rich. Why? Because, are they finishing the song for me? Because of what the Lord has done, right? But the reason why he can say, the reason why he's telling you to say that, not only is because of what the Lord has done, because what the Lord has done actually begins to become activated in your own life when you actually begin to realize he's done it for you. It's not just what he's done for you. When you say, I am strong, when you feel weak, you get strong. What was it the other day? I think it was yesterday. We had a long day. We went to Sight and Sound. Sight and Sound was awesome, by the way. Awesome. We had a fun time. Before that, though, we had to actually go to our daughter's school for an event. And then it was a very busy morning. And I couldn't find my ID. my driver's license, so I'm like, I'm not gonna be able to drive out there if I can't find my driver's license. And it was just a lot going on, and I remember when I was looking for everything, in my head, I said to myself, this is the worst day. In my head, you didn't hear me. In my head, I said, this is the worst day. And as soon as I heard that, I said back to myself, I said, no, this is the best day ever. This is going to be the best day. This is going to be the greatest day. Why? Because I understand the power of my thoughts. You need to begin to realize your thoughts, watch this, your thoughts will prophesy your future. Your thoughts will prophesy your destiny. Scriptures, if the Bible says, as you think, so are you. All I need to do is pay attention to what I'm thinking the most. Because whatever I'm thinking about the most will become my destiny. So I can tell my future by basically observing what I'm thinking about. Every man, every woman is a prophet to his own life. You are a prophet to your own life. What you think about is what you're going to become. So when you say, I'm wealthy, I've been walking around, driving around now, and I'm looking at properties, and I say, I'm a landlord. I'm an owner of multiple properties. That's what I'm saying to myself now. My self-talk is changing. Now, self-talk is important because whatever you tell yourself, you begin to program into yourself. It's like installing inside of your mind and your heart who you're going to be. This is where self-talk comes. Many of you talk, all of you talk to yourself every day. All of you talk to yourself every day. If you don't talk to yourself, something is wrong. You need to talk to yourself. You need to control. The Bible says, bring your thoughts under subjection. Bring your thoughts under subjection. Everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, you pull it down. Right? Because what we're trying to teach you, church, is that if you can learn how to control your mind, if you can control your thoughts, we learned 2 weeks ago in Bible study that the mind is the battlefield in the spirit realm. That both God and the devil is fighting for your mind right now. Because your mind is the gateway for all spiritual activity. Heaven comes to earth through a renewed mind. Hell comes to earth through a carnal mind. When your mind is not renewed, you're not giving heaven an opportunity to flow through you. Jesus said, where is the kingdom of God? Luke 17:21. Is it out there? Is it over there? He said, no, the kingdom of God is within you. So in Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What things? The things that the heathen are searching for. The things that the world wants, the Bible says God will add it to you. The heathens aren't looking for spiritual things. They're looking for material things. I said those who are outside the church are not walking around looking for spiritual things. They're looking for money. They're looking for cars, looking for houses. And God says he will bring all those things to you, but you simply need to seek the kingdom first. Now watch this. Where is the kingdom? It's within you. Your mind, your thoughts, your heart, your beliefs, your identity. This is how the kingdom is going to flow through you. And you need to stop praying up here, looking up to the sky for something to come. God wants the kingdom of God to come through you. This is why I'm teaching people now, as much as you say you believe in God, you must start believing in yourself. Thank you for those three claps. You see, look, the Bible says, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Then what's the second commandment that's great, that's equal with that one? Love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? Now, how do we love God? We first must learn to trust him. We must learn to believe in him first. So we believe in his love, we experience his love, and then we grow up in that love, right? So if I have to love God by believing in him, and then he says we got to learn how to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, we must also learn how to believe in our neighbors as we believe in ourselves. What are we believing? I'm believing in the reality that Christ and his kingdom is also in you. We have a tendency of looking at people where they are right now and judging them as that's where they are going to be for the rest of their lives. So when I see this church, I'm not looking at you based on any label, any limitation, gender orientation, gender identification. I'm not looking at you at anything else. All I see is that this is a redeemed son and daughter of God, and the kingdom of God is within them, and God wants his nature to be seen. He wants his glory to come out of them. I don't care where they've been. I don't care what they have done. All I see is that this is a beloved child of God. All right? And then, so when we see people the way God sees them, everything changes. I'm almost done. Genesis 1, verse 26. Watch this. I say God wants you to believe in yourself, right? Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man. Let us make human beings in our image. So whose image are you created in? God's. So the only legal, logical way to see yourself is in God's very own image. Identity. My identity. If I see myself any other way, it's sin. So let me ask you a question. Does God see himself broke? Does God see himself sick? Does God see himself depressed? So, if God doesn't see himself that way, you were made in God's image. The only way you're supposed to see yourself is the way God sees himself. And it's a sin if you don't. You see, we think sin is only about the behaviors. That's the least meaningful way. How you see yourself and what you believe about yourself is a greater sin than what you actually do. And actually, what you do is an overflow of what you believe you are. That's why if I can get you to change your beliefs and your identity, I don't have to worry about your behavior, because as you think in your heart, so are you. You're only going to do, people do what they are and who they are. If I want you to make wiser decisions or wealthy decisions, I must first get you to believe you already are wealthy and you already are wise. If you believe that you're dumb, if you believe that you're not intelligent, if you believe you're not smart, if you don't believe that you can make the choices that can set your life into another level of success and prosperity, then nothing that I preach will matter, because you must first believe about yourself what God already believes about you. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them reign over the fish, the birds, the livestock, over the earth, and all the small animals that creep along it. And we know the rest, verse 27 then says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. This is why Jesus said, when you pray, start off by saying, our Father. Why? Because that understanding is the highest principle you must realize. God being your Father means that he's the only one that has the right to label you or identify you. Identity comes from your father. God says your father is God. Jesus said your father is God. He is your source. And your father said that you were created in his image. Don't let anybody tell you anything differently. You didn't evolve from some monkey or some whale or some ape. You came from God's very own being. You are his offspring. Woo, glory to God. If God doesn't see himself sick, you don't see yourself sick. I don't care how sick you are right now. Say, I am healthy. I am whole. I am healed. Yes. God doesn't see himself broke. Don't ever say, well, God isn't. If God doesn't say that he's broke, imagine if God says, you know what? I don't got it today. Imagine if God said that. come on. You know, God wouldn't say that, would he? I want you to use your prophetic imagination now. And I need you to begin to see yourself the way God sees himself. And as your identity changes, your beliefs will change. Your conversations and your talk will change. Your behaviors will start to change. And then your environment will change. Your circumstances will change. Your physical body will start to change. People get healed when Christ becomes more real to them than your sickness. It's not until Christ becomes more real in your body than your sickness you get healed. Woo! This is why you gotta hear the truth, because repetition creates persuasion. You have to hear this stuff over and over again until your eyes are open and you get a revelation. And all of a sudden, everything begins to change. So as we close, male and female, he created them. And in verse 28, then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion, all this stuff. You see, you're able to be fruitful after you recognize who you already are in God's image, in God's likeness. There's no inferiority in God. There should be no inferiority in you. There's no depression in God. There should be no depression in you. There's no low self-thoughts in God. Do you think God has high self-esteem or low self-esteem? So is it ungodly to have a high self-esteem about yourself? Absolutely not. Come on. I need you to boost your self-esteem today. Come on, God has given you permission to feel as good about yourself as he feels about himself. Come on. Come on, there's no bad days in God, therefore there should be no bad days in you. Come on, you command your morning, you command your night. Come on, you tell your circumstances what it's going to do. But you first, watch this, must begin to control your own mind. Control your own self. Don't allow your mind to go into any place or space that's not in God's. Or as Bill Johnson put it, don't let a thought be in your head that's not in his. And this is where the renewal of the mind comes in, and this is how transformation takes place in your life. Amen? So let's do some affirmations right now. Let's do some declarations. Let's get your I am factor going. Do you know that every time what you say you are, and if you say I am something, God told Moses that his name was I am. God told Moses, his name is I am. So when God told Moses, tell Pharaoh, I am sent you. What he was telling Moses is that anything you put after your I am is God to you. When I say I am rich, it's as if God is saying it in my own life. When I say I am healed, it's as if God is saying it. Come on, you don't believe who you are. When you declare something out of your mouth as I am, it's as if God is saying it to you. Can you imagine right now? See, we want God to come and speak to us. And even if God speaks to you, you know what needs to happen right after that? You need to say out of your own mouth what God just said to you. Because it's not until you say it, you won't believe it. I see depression breaking off of some of you. You are never going to be depressed after today. This is where depression comes in. People don't know who they are. So right now, say, I am never, ever going to have another depressed day or moment. I am too blessed to be stressed. I am created in the image and likeness of God. The kingdom of God is in me, prospering me, flourishing in me, thriving in me, making me rich, making me whole, making me everything that I was created to be. And today, I am realizing that there is nothing that God is holding back from me that's good, that's pure, that's praiseworthy. I am accepting my righteous position in the earth. I have authority to claim my inheritance in this life. Come on. I'm not waiting for the sweet by and by to understand who I am. I choose to identify with my righteousness, my identity in the Father's love. Amen. Amen. That's just how your prayer life is supposed to start looking. Stop praying for things that God has already given you. I want you to change your prayer life into confessions of who you are. Start saying who you are, start saying what you have, and thanking God for it. And when you believe it, you'll see it. My last point. There's a term in psychology called cognitive bias. And what a cognitive bias is this. You're literally, when you believe something in your mind, scientists have discovered that your brain will literally, physically begin to reposition itself to see what you believe. That your brain has the ability to alter itself. Do you know that? It's called neuroplasticity. It's like your brain is almost like moldable. It's like plastic. And when you believe something, your brain will actually position itself. The wires and the nerves and the fibers in your brain actually all begin to create pathways to see what you believe. And that's why it's called a cognitive bias. Because it's like when you say, I'm going to buy a certain car, or you like a certain car, and all of a sudden you start seeing it more. You ever notice that? That's what's happening. Your brain is positioning itself to see what you believe you want. That's how your brain works. But you saw it before, you just didn't believe that you could have it. And the minute you say, I'm going to get that car, I'm going to buy that car, you start seeing everybody and their mother driving the same car. But your brain just repositioned itself to acquire what it is that you desire. It's called cognitive bias. Many of you have formed negative biases. You believe you're going to see somebody betray you. You believe you think somebody's going to stab you in the back. You believe that people are going to walk out on you. And then your mind begins to set itself up to see it. But I need you to renew your mind, church. Come on. That's nothing but good in store for you. Come on. God says today, if you're my child, you're my son, I'm going to take care of you. Come on, he has plans to prosper you. He has plans to set you up and to make you the head and not the tail. Get that negativity out of your mind. Get that negativity off of your spirit. Just begin to say, Lord, I trust you and I believe in you. Amen. Father, I thank you for the mental miracles that are taking place today. I thank you right now, God, that you are causing our brains to be predisposed to your favor. That, Father God, we're going to truly begin to walk in an assurance and a knowing that everything you say we are, we are. Everything you say we can have, we have. And, Father, we're going to stop putting our faith into the future, but our faith is in the now. We thank you, God, that right now we are moving higher. And as simple as this truth was today, I know, God, that it has the power to change, to hate, to save, to heal, to set free, and to deliver. And Father God, I thank you now, God, that as your people rise up in the assurance of who they are, they're going to see the kingdom of God flowing in them in ways that they have never seen it before. We give you praise, glory, and honor today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.